Good morning, Southern Arizona, and the rest of you out there in cyberspace. Welcome to the Simmons Kirk Air Shop Talk Show right here on ESPNTucson.com, 1490 AM, 949 HD4 FM. I'm Jerry Simmons, your host. Along with me, riding shotgun as usual, Mr. Jim Mooney from Frontier Towing for all of your towing needs. Been there, towed that. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, everybody out there in cyberspace or wherever you're at this morning. A nice little rainy day. Remember, folks, it's a live call-in and talk show. Call in at 520-719-1490. That's going to be a rainy morning today, folks. You know, if you're out there driving around, make sure that if you haven't replaced your windshield wipers, which I can't believe you haven't by now, you probably need to go get some, because it's been raining for the last week. So if you made it through this far, you probably should be okay. It's dark out there. It means that if there are people out there walking their dog or the person riding the bicycle in the rain, that would be a rough one. That's a dedicated bicycle rider if you're going to be out there riding in the pouring rain. Good for you guys. But watch out for those folks. Watch for those folks out there because they're particularly hard to see, especially in the rain and can't see what's going on. Your car gets fogged up because for whatever reason, mine always seems to get fogged up. Can't see out the window. Watch out for the bicyclists. Remember, and if you're trying to do that and text, well, that'll even be 10 times more problems. So no texting, folks. No texting and driving. No drinking and driving, especially on Sunday or, you know, when we go to the Super Bowl. Remember, go out there and have fun. Don't drive home from the show or stay home and enjoy the show. If you're working on your car, you're going to take it on today. You know, if you're going to jump outside there in the driveway and jack up your car, I would recommend some good rain gear to start with. Some good rain gear, some warm clothes. You know, if you're going to lay down there on the ground, buddy, you're better than me. So,
dedicated the word.
Dedicated, I'm telling you. If you're going to lay down there with the water running through the driveway, oh man, that's going to be a rough day. That's going to be a rough day. But if you are going to jack it up, put down some jack stands and chalk the wheel, so that, you know, because it will be slippery out there. It will be slippery. So
yeah.
If you're going to work on your under the hood, use a hot hood prop. I would imagine there's probably a little bit of, with the rain, I imagine there'd be a little bit of wind, but maybe not too bad. I mean, maybe not too bad. It's just going to get colder, so, you know, maybe the dent there will hold it up. You know, good time, you know, folks, really good time to check your headlights. Learn where that knob is that turns them on if they turn on automatically, or make sure they actually turn on, because I'll tell you what, it's dark out there right now. It's really dark. So check your headlights. Jerry's always, that's a Jerry's good tip. And if you're crazy enough to work on your car today, don't stand in front of it while it's running, and put the keys in your pocket so you don't lock your keys in your car, because that would be really bad. Have your car running, keys locked inside, and you standing out there in the rain trying to figure out how to get in. That would be a fun day. So let's not do all those things. So I don't know. What do you think, Jerry?
Well,
a good day to work on the rain?
Well, I haven't. I'm running around right now trying to see if it's started raining here at the house. Yeah, it looks like it just started. Just a little rain. I know it's colder right now than it was when I went down to feed. And so it's going to get nasty. It's 100% chance of rain today. That's what the forecast is. And Jim, you're absolutely correct. I found out by driving my super hopped up Honda.
Super hopped up. I didn't know.
I stepped on the accelerator the other day while it was raining, and it didn't go anywhere. I thought I'd blown the transmission. No, it was spinning. It was hydroplaning, sitting there, front wheel drive. And I didn't know it could even turn the wheels over. I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. But no, it's been some good rain. I'm glad to see the rain. Mountains are gorgeous with the snow caps on them. And I like it because I can just open my blinds in my kitchen and look straight at the Mount Lemmon and just go, wow, wow. And I'm standing here in my T-shirt, pajama bottoms. Yeah, it works for me. But, yeah, it's going to get a little nasty. So, but, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in the automotive industry. I read so daggone much this past week. I finally just shut the computer down and just... Nah, I'm done. I don't want to be aggravated anymore. The Honda and General Motors have went on a joint venture for dual cells, you know, and it's they're actually the Honda, I think CRV is for 2024 is supposed to actually be one of the first runners that's going to show up. I haven't seen one, so if anybody's in a Honda dealership or something can tell me what happened to them. Or, Jim, do you know anything about this hydrogen little booger?
Not yet. I haven't heard anything from them. Have to forgive me. I've been working this week. I didn't get a look up the stuff. I don't, as far as hydrogen on a CRV, I have not heard of that.
Yep. Well, it's here. And, somebody mentioned it on the TV on one of the news channels on TV. But GM and Honda, they joined forces. They spent a little bit of bucks on this thing too. They're building the hydrogen powered cars to shift away from the EV. Okay. So they're coming up with different options. Electric vehicles are not going to go away. They've been around since the early 1800s over in France. So they're still talking about them. But right now, and with the hydrogen, they've got, I mean, it's just like when the diesels first become popular. Man, you'd have to drive all over Tucson to find a place to fill up a diesel. You had to go to the truck stops. That's where most of us live in town, and truck stops are out off the freeways. And it was a pain in the butt, too. But, you know, we come through that. Now you can just about buy it any place. And that's the way I think that it's going to happen with the electric and hydrogen. It's just all of a sudden, here comes everything at one time, including the people from across the border. So I don't know if they're going to come in and help run these stations or what. I've never seen so much crap happening at one time in my adult life. This is incredible. But it is what it is. Charging stations for poor areas. I thought this was cool. This actually made the national news. You know, we had a little bit of money left over from the COVID. And so they decided to use that money and go around to the poor communities across the country and build charging stations, which is excellent idea. Excellent. I mean, because I've been wondering how they're going to get that stuff in there. So if you're going to blow money, you might as well blow it on something that's useful. And then I read Martha's Vineyard made. Martha's Vineyard is considered now a poor community. So, you know, I have to do is just laugh at that, because you know where Martha's Vineyard is, right, Jim?
Of course. Yes, sir. Yeah. It's in a much.
Is that a poor
more,
community to you?
No, it's in a much wealthier place than I live. So.
I think probably the mailbox space costs more than my house.
Yeah.
I love it when they pull the scams like this. Oh my gosh! Oh, but
I don't think anything about Martha's Vineyard is a poor community. I mean, I don't know.
It has a lot of the top elites.
Probably a good place to visit, you know, if they'd let you in.
I think it's probably got a wall around it or something. I don't know. I've never been there. I never had a desire to go there. I'll leave that up to the traveling elite so they can go and enjoy themselves without having a jury looking over the fence. I did spot some. I thought it was a little, it makes you scratch your head just a little bit. If you go to Colorado, if you need a driver's license, you know, or buy a car, go to Colorado if you're an illegal, because they'll sell you a car to drive, and you're not going to be able to get a driver's license, but with that car, they say, you have to be careful. This is in Colorado. I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. So that means that the people there are going to be driving cars without insurances, because they're not going to be able to buy insurance for the car if you're illegal, no driver's license. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to bring. And I thought, wait a minute, these are cars. This is automotive. This is a Simmons Car Care Show. We might as well talk about it a little bit. So that when you get ready to go over to Colorado to do your visiting and stuff, remember that this is happening. But with the amount of stuff that's going on in the sanctuary cities, they're all off of my bucket list for a while till they get everything under control. But and then I was reading, to depress myself even more, on how many different businesses that is owned by foreign countries. You know, GE Motorola, IBM, the PC division, China-owned. Appliances, GE appliances, household appliances. Hoover, U.S., vacuum cleaners owned by China. That's enough for me. Huh?
Every television brand, is foreign owned.
Well, look at Tesla. I didn't know that Tesla sold to China. Did you? I'm going. So what I'm going to do here right now is I'm going to convert this thing back to the Simmons Car Care Show. And where all of you are looking, you know, the fuel sales, the driver's license, people, if you're driving in Tucson, Arizona, please go ahead and just get the insurance on it. So when you crash my vehicle, you can fix it. But that's not going to happen because one of these days, somebody will give me the right numbers for the amount of vehicles in just the state of Arizona that's driving without insurance. Or, you know, I don't care if you want to drive with just liability insurance. That's fine. It protects the other people anyway. But driving without insurance, that's almost as good as how many cars are actually being driven with people who don't even have a driver's license. You know, you hear about these hit and runs and stuff like that, and makes you wonder, you know, is the reason of people not sticking around when they have a fender bender is because they don't have insurance on the cars? Probably. I know it happened to me a long time ago, and that was the case. So, anyway, welcome to the Simmons Car Care Show. Sponsored in part by Spectrum, Ina Road Auto Collision. 4425 West Ina Road, 520-744-4454. If you want to know something about how insurance works with car repairs and stuff like that, you can actually have a conversation with Javier or Echo over there. They'll fill you in on how that stuff works. But if you have an accident on a vehicle, don't even try to figure it out. Take it over there, call Frontier at 748-1100, have it towed over there, and Javier and his crew get a hold of it. They will call the insurance. You need to get the insurance information to them also. So file your claim, get a claim number, and then pass the number on to Spectrum, and they will pick it up from there and go, because there's a lot of stuff that you can absolutely not predict on these vehicles. They're plastic. They got retainers that when they hit, they sound like one of these little old crash mobiles they used to have 100 years ago when I was a kid. And everything breaks. Everything, and you can't tell what's moved and moved back until you pull it. And then, oh, this is ripped. Oh, this is broken. Oh, this is broken. This is broken. This is broken. I need 500 good, clear pictures so that I'll know how to file a claim on this thing. Don't even mess with it. Just find you a good shop. Spectra Minor Road Auto Collision, have them handle it. If you need to, you've got rental car provisions, have them set up a rental car for you. They'll handle it. It takes the stress out of that. Hopefully nobody's hurt. So, you know, just that way you can get it all taken care of, and then when you get it back, it's beautiful. And by the way, they are, in 2018 and 19, I know 2018 they were voted the best collision center in the state of Arizona. I think that carried over to the 19, but if it didn't, it should have. So it's just a good place. It's on Ina Road right behind the car wash and Lube Pit, yeah, Lube Place.
You know, Jerry, you make a great point there about the damage to a car. The today's cars are pretty complicated. You know, it used to be, you know, two frame rails and a body. And then, like Jerry's old Mustang, it was a unibody. And it still wasn't overly complicated. But today, folks, stuff moves and bends, and you can't see it. I mean, you'll look at a car and say, that doesn't look that bad. That's really not that bad. I think we can just move this around, and it'll be just fine. Nope, doesn't work that way. One, like everything, it's, you know, everything's connected to everything else, and it all shifts. And before you know it, you know, the inner fender well is pushed to the side because the fender's pushed in. And unless you know what you're doing, you cannot see that stuff. Now, if you might take the attitude as, well, I can't see it, it must not be bad, and, you know, maybe that's an okay attitude to have. Until something else goes wrong. As Jerry will tell you, because he's seen it a million times, like I've seen it, when something's misaligned, cause for premature wear. So, for example, if a car gets hit in the front, you know, it doesn't even have to be a big hit, and you've misaligned where the engine cradle sits in relationship to the car is misaligned. So now the axles don't line up, or the transmission doesn't line up, or the motor mounts don't line up exactly right. Well, maybe the motor mounts will kind of line up. You could pry them over with a big pry bar and get it just in the right point, right? How long do they last? Does it tear? Now, geez, my motor mount's a just replacement. It only lasted 10,000 miles. I wonder why. Well, because there was a crash. You want to talk about something that's frustrating, because you're going to go back to the guy and say, because maybe the shop doesn't even know your car was in a wreck, right? They checked the bumper. It was at a shop. The insurance guy said, that will be just fine. Because, you know, the insurance guy, I'm not trying to knock insurance people here, but remember, the insurance guy's job is to get the job done as inexpensively as possible and still be safe. I mean, that's my goal. You know, when you go get your car fixed, if somebody goes, well, your tune-up's going to be $4,000, you're going to be like, well, hey, what are you doing for $4,000? You'll go, hey, Jerry, I need a second opinion on this. Why is a tune-up $4,000? Well, the guy says he's got to do this and this and that. Well, no, that's not exactly correct. So, you know, an insurance guy has to be a little monetarily savvy about how a car gets fixed. That being said, sometimes they kind of push their weight around and say, well, you know, that'll be okay, don't worry about that, because, you know, we're not married to this car. And so the guy puts the motor mounts in, motor mounts a little tight, and, you know, 10,000 miles, the motor mounts break. And you don't think anything about it because the car didn't have a motor mount issue. It had a front headlight and fender issue and a bumper cover issue. And so you take it to Jerry, and Jerry says, oh, okay. And this seems kind of strange. Like, hey, these are kind of hard to put in, but I put them in, and all of a sudden, 10 more thousand miles and the motor mount's break. Well, there's a problem. Well, yes, it's a problem because the initial assessment of the crash was improperly done. That's why you use somebody like Javier. Just saying. Because when the guy goes, okay, look, it's off a half an inch. That's just a half an inch. Okay, it's just a half an inch. Jerry, if I was to tell you, oh, my wheels are out of alignment and the camber's in 2 degrees, it's just a couple degrees. It shouldn't be no big deal until I wear the inside of the tire out and the outside looks brand new. And you're thinking, well, you see, this is why we have to check these numbers. So good shops are critical, especially after a crash. And if you think that, I mean, you know, a headlight you might be able to put on there, and you could probably fix the whole car yourself. But without sophisticated equipment, you're not going to know if it's right or not. I know. I've pulled them. I've tried them. I work on them all the time. Got one sitting out here, and it's a little Jeep, and the grill will not sit straight in it. I have looked at it 15 ways from Sunday. You know what's wrong with it? The grill's bent. Wow, put a new grill in it, and all of a sudden everything magically matches up. Does the grill look bent? Not in your life. It looks perfect. It looks, you can't see it at all. But you know what? It is bent, and the new part fixed it. So I know that this stuff doesn't look bad, and it is bad. So really hard to gauge by your eyeballs. And mine are getting worse by the day, so I have to have glasses now. But anyway, yeah, that's
you know,
those qualified shops are critical. That's why they go out of the way to make sure they do their jobs right.
Well, that's breeding. The average repair on these things, it takes a minimum of 2 weeks now. Before, when COVID was involved in it, they couldn't get anything. They couldn't get parts. There's stuff sitting around for up to 6 months. Well, they finally got everything, all the parts in, and they got them out, but it still takes about a minimum of 2 weeks on a repair. It doesn't look that bad. A minimum of 2 weeks. You know, your body shops are buried in business right now. I don't know. Well, I do know. But you can't, when you take it in, you need the realistic expectations. And let me tell you another little teeny weeny thing you need to pay attention to. When you rent a car, a lot of your insurance company, you call your insurance company and find out how much time you have on a car rental. Most of them is, what, 30 days, Jim? Something like that?
Exactly. Yes.
But you need to know at what point you're going to start picking up a tab on this thing. Because if you've got a vehicle and you only have 30-day insurance coverage on a rental vehicle while yours is being repaired, and now the average time is 2 weeks, and that's 2 weeks of average time, and that's without any really heavy collision type stuff. So if you've got 2 weeks on that, you're going to eat up another 2 weeks, and you're going to be out of insurance for your rental car, and then you're going to be picking up that tab on the rental car and not even realize it until you check it back in. So check your insurance, get to hold the insurance agent, and find out how much insurance you have for rental cars. And, you know, that's just a little stuff that we need to pay attention to that'll you wind up and say, whoops. That's the kind of like the difference between buying a car and leasing a car. Right now, I see a lot of lease programs out there. It looks real tempting. Say, oh, wow, I can get that car for $175 a month. That is absolutely phenomenal. It beats $750 a month for a car payment. Well, if it's too good to be true, did it ever occur to you it might be just too good to be true? A lot of people, I know a lot of people that just lease a car. 3 years come up, they trade it in. But there's a few things that you got to pay attention to on leasing these cars. You have mileage restrictions. I mean, you can drive it as many miles you want to, but over a certain period, then you're going to start paying for the extra mileage on these cars. My dad bought leased a little bitty, I think it's a Nissan, and he's driving this thing, and when I went back to see him, I asked him, I said, why didn't you just go ahead and buy it? He said, nah, didn't want to dump that kind of cash. And I'm thinking, okay. When he got rid of that car, he was absolutely furious because he didn't quite figure out that you are charged for the miles over and above what they allow you to drive. And he never even bothered checking it. And but that was quite a lesson for him. You know, the rest of us that's been around a while and worked with cars have been acquainted with these little issues. Believe it or not, just from listening to clients come in and say, I never would have bought it. I never would have leased it if I'd known that at the end of 3 years I was going to owe more than a car's worth. I've got too many miles on a car. I'm going to have to pay again. The only way I can do it is refinance the car. That's the only cheap way or inexpensive way of getting out of it, because you're going to be dropping a couple of $3,000 just to get the car, get rid of the car. And so when you're doing that, check with your accountant, your CPA, if you got a business, check with your CPAs. And if you're buying a car and you're thinking about a lease, get the information. Do your homework before you go in to talk about a lease. And, you know, some people, that's good. If you want a new car and you want to pay that money, fine. You know, that's your prerogative, 100%. It's good. At least they've got some kind of a program where you can afford to actually get in a new car. And but you just know what you got before you get into it. The biggest thing is, one, you've got a maintenance contract that you have to keep up on that car, which is what the manufacturer's actually put in a book. You have to be responsible for that, and it has to be done on the days it had. If you don't do it, they will charge you for it. So there's all sorts of stuff that's hanging out and hiding out in these lease programs. But it, like I said, if it's too good to be true, it probably needs a second opinion. You know, I'm not saying that you don't know what you're doing. I'm saying if it can happen to me, and I'm just normal, and Jim at Frontier Towing, you know, I'm sure he's never made a mistake like that. And but that's the reason we're passing on information that you need to know.
So I'll tell you the
go ahead,
I
Jim.
Got it one time. And so, okay, you know, leases are really interesting, you know, and if you, you know, they're alternative financing, okay? So you can, you know, today leases, you know, I mean, depending who you get it from, I know they see the VWI that's the sign and drive away, right? But most people want some money up front, you know, they want to know that you got a little skin in the game. So, you know, you're going to spend $4,000 to $8,000 to get a vehicle and then, you know, reduce payments. So, for a certain amount of time, right? But at the end, Jerry's right. There's a balloon at the end. Yeah, if you don't know that there's a balloon payment at the end, well, yes, again, you just rented a car. For 48 months, you rented a car, and you're going to turn it back. Okay, so, you know, maybe that's something you want to do. You want to be able to have a fixed payment, and you put up a little money in the front. Well, $4,000 is more than a little money, you know. You got to walk in there and shell out $4,000 plus, you know, whatever registration you're going to pay. You know, now you're into it for six. So anyway, so you go for this program, but it's only going to cost me $350 or $400 a month or $250 a month, right? So the lease ends, and now it's time to make a decision. So you're like, you know what? I don't like this car, or I don't want to keep this car anymore, or you know what? I'm done with a new car program, so I'm going to just turn it back. So you turn the car back, and the guy comes out and goes, oh, Mr. Simmons, thank you so much for bringing the car back. You know, would you like to – you have a couple options. You want to turn the vehicle back to us, or would you like to refinance the remaining balance, this balloon payment, and we'll go again. And we can refinance the next half of the car for another 48 months. And you're just like, so now I'm into this car for 96 months, you know, 8 years, and I don't want to do that. I'm just going to turn it back in. Okay, no problem. Let me go ahead and get some paperwork lined up here, because we got to check this car in. The guy goes around with the camera, sits, snap, 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 snap. Got a little form out there and go, oh, Mr. Simmons, did you notice there's a small scratch on the front bumper? No, I didn't notice that. Damn, yeah, there's a little scratch right there. Oh, you know what? There's a little tiny chip on the window. Yeah, better knock that down. Oh, where you, the back of your car, you've taken stuff in and out of the trunk. Oh, the bumper on the back has some scratch. There's a couple of door dings. Yep, sir, there's a couple of door dings in the car. So, and you know what? There's some rock chips, too. Looks like you've been driving this car down the road. Jeez, go figure, right? So, okay. All right, Mr. Simmons, let me go ahead and get this figured out. So, Mr. Simmons, I got this all up. I sent this over to the body shop. It's going to cost you $7,000 to get this car fixed at the body shop because it needs a whole paint job and a windshield. And you're going, what? Oh, yes, sir. The lease says you must return the vehicle in the condition which you got it. Didn't have any of these rock chips, windshield crack, or scratches on the vehicle when you picked it up. So please make sure that, you know, get this over to the body shop and get it. Or you could take it to your body shop before you return it. You have till next week to return it. Please make sure you get all these things remedied before you turn it back in. Because it has to look in the condition which you got it. Well, but isn't there a normal wear and tear? Oh, yes, sir, there is. We looked at the seat, and there's normal wear and tear on the seat. Sir, I'm sorry. There looks like there's excessive wear and tear on the seat. We're going to have to replace that, too. Okay, no problem, sir. We consider normal wear and tear, you know, with slight dirt, no scuffing, no paint chips, no cracks, no glass, no broken glass. So all this other stuff, you need to go ahead and get this taken care of. Normal wear and tear. Oh, the tires are greater than 50%. Oh, okay, yeah, you wore them down halfway. Well, we're good with that. Oh, the brakes are better than 50%. That's normal wear. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, the brakes are wore out. We're going to need to replace the brakes. No lie, folks. No lie. At that point, I gave up and just rebought the car. Because I was going to have to buy the car twice or buy it all over again. So, and just like Jerry said, I'm sorry, sir. Have you had the vehicle serviced at our facility? No. Oh, sir. Do you have accurate records? Did you have it done at a qualified repair shop? No, I just did it myself. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That doesn't qualify in the maintenance contract. You probably, how do we know that you use the proper oil? Are you a certified mechanic? Have you ever done this before? Oh, I want to change oil on many vehicles. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. The contract clearly states it must be done at a qualified repair facility. Or certified technician. You didn't meet that need, sir. I'm sorry, sir. And you're on. So if you're going to lease a car, they actually have a program for nicks, dings, and scratches. You pay extra for it. But when you turn it in, you don't have to pay the nicks, dings, and scratches. And maintenance, Jerry nailed it right on the nail of the head. Said, you know what? Better make sure that you had it done or you're going to be in a problem. Other than that, leases are great. They're fantastic. And, you know, if you're in on a particularly good guy and they understand that you're leasing 12 cars, you know, maybe they can relax at some. They didn't for me. I didn't. I had the car and I got to pay the whole thing twice. So I bought it for 96 months. Yay! Now, I was educated, so just so you said, no.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to leave, check out the lease, go with somebody, ask all the questions. Don't just say, oh, it's easy. Here, you just sign there, you take the car
away,
it's no problem. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Oh, well, what if I wreck the car? Ah, it's not a problem at all, sir. That's fine. We're good with that. So, yeah. Buyer in asterisks there, beware, exclamation point, buyer beware. You know, again, leases work for lots of people. Just know what you're getting into. It's just like buying a used car.
Right. Okay,
what does Jerry say? You know, go have it checked out. Why? Oh, I can look at it. It looks great. Okay.
you know, I'm glad you brought that up. That I remember when I was a youngster and I'd get something like a 56 Chevrolet, you know, two door, you know, 55s and all these little antique cars now that I could shoot myself for not having. But yet I didn't know anything. I absolutely did not know anything. And I thought I knew everything about them. I mean, you get these cars. I mean, well, tell me what a 17-year-old knows about a vehicle. That's never been to an automotive garage class
cool.
or anything. Oh, yeah, you look old. You know, keep that wheel shining, man. You're bad to the bone. Well, no, you're not. When Jim and I sat here and we regurgitate a lot of stuff, and we'll take off on a particular subject, and we may stay on it for 5 minutes. We may stay on it for 2 hours because of the things that keep popping up. Oh, yeah, this can happen. Oh, yeah, this happened. This happened, this happened, this happened. Have you thought about this? This show is designed as like Automotive 100, Automotive 101. It's like don't wash your car with Dawn dishwashing liquid. It'll cut the gel coat on the outside. You don't wash it with, you know, same thing you wash your dishes in. There is so many things that you can do to keep this vehicle running. There is a bunch of stuff that you must do to keep this vehicle running. When you buy a new car, used to, I haven't checked to see what the percentage is now, but if it's like 23 cents on the dollar used to go for maintenance. Well, if you buy a vehicle like, some people do for $80,000 and 23% of that is for warranty. Okay. And out of that, what do you get for your 23% on warranty? You get somebody from a warranty looking at it and say, okay, did you change the oil at the prescribed drain interval on this vehicle? Do you rotate your tires? Do you live on a dirt road? Do you constantly beat the crap out of it because of some of the potholes that we have on the streets of Tucson, actually? And there is so many things that you need to pay attention to that you don't pay attention to, but you are required by your contract on warranty on a vehicle to maintain that car as the OE, which is your original equipment manufacturing, Ford, Dodge, Chevy, whatever, wherever you bought it, whatever dealership you bought it from, okay, you have a responsibility to check the oil and don't let it run out. Of course, now you got the sensors and stuff in these cars that'll actually, it'll shut the motor down. However, on the older cars, you didn't. You remember the idiot light? You know, the idiot light you set there? I finally figured out what that was about when I was probably 28 years old, 25 years old. Idiot light comes on when you're out of oil. They don't come on like they do now with the oil sensors. Say, okay, it's time to change your oil. No, they used to come on same way they do with overheating. They come on and now you laugh about it because if you don't pay attention to your car and you don't know what it smells like when it's actually overheating and you can smell the antifreeze burning, and if you don't have that knowledge, yeah, you're gonna spend some time saying, yep, it's an idiot light. I was an idiot. But now they've got the bills. They'll come on and say, you're due for an oil change. You know, it's in writing. And, but you have to maintain that car because if you don't and you have a problem with it, if you don't change the oil or check the oil and it's out of oil and you know that you, okay, well, it uses a quart for every 800 miles. Okay. If a manufacturer says that's okay, then it's okay and you're stuck with it. You can either drive it like that and check the oil to make sure you don't run out of oil, or you can trade it in and take your chances on another one that's maybe not an oil burner. And by the way, cars, the more expensive the cars, the bigger the hit for the depreciation is when you drive them off the lot. In the first year, you can lose as much as 37% of that car's value, depending on what car. How much, you know, like that, more expensive cars actually depreciate more. But you're going to lose anywhere from 17 to 38-39%, depending on what you're driving. I mean, that's going to be the most expensive drive in the first 100 yards that you've done in a long time. But if you don't maintain it, it's going to cost you a lot of money, because if you don't change your oil, because it says change oil or check the oil, you may be complaining, oh, it's 800 miles. It takes a quart to get 800 miles. People, you can deal with it with the car companies. You can scream and holler. And I think at one time they finally moved it to 1,000 miles. And then I've heard they moved it back. So I really don't know what it is now. All I know, if I wanted a car to burn oil, I'd just take one and drive it without the oil in it for about, 300,000 miles and see if I can't just wear everything out in it. But that's what they're assuming that you're doing to a car. When it comes in and it's out of oil and you go, it's under warranty, and they'll say, I don't think so. It's your responsibility to know how to check it and how often to check it. And you have to know your vehicle. So if you don't know your vehicle, you find out from a Parker Automotive or Automotive Specialist or a Simmons, and you find out what you need and how often you need it. We have all the computers. All three places have all the computers that you need to come up with, okay, what does this car require? You know, when the computers first came out, we started going to the computer on that. I thought it'd be pretty cool, since I didn't know when all of this stuff was supposed to happen. You know, how are you supposed to? I used to tell them, I want you to get in there and I want you to look at the speedometer. Look at the odometer, find out what the mileage are. Then I want you to go get in the computers that we have, find out where and what they have coming. If they're got a 60,000-mile checkout coming, which is normally the big one on a vehicle, I want you to print that thing off and put it in the front seat. Pull it off, put it in the front seat for the client so that they can take a look at this thing, because there's a difference in how many things you've got to do at 60,000 versus what you have to do at 30,000. And so just put them there and say, hey, heads up. You can take a look at it. A lot of this stuff you can do yourself. You could do it yourself. But now, no, unfortunately, it still has to be done, but you don't quite have the technology, the training to go in and do it like it's supposed to be. So you're going to get yourself in trouble, or more likely you'll get yourself in trouble. People, if you're changing your own oil, you take the receipts that you get. If you go to Merle's and you get the receipt, you take that piece of paper. I don't care if it's the, oh, yeah, this paper, it doesn't fade in the sunlight. You get a copy of it, attach it to the original, and put it inside your glove box, or you keep it a special file for your automotive maintenance on that particular car. And don't do like I did one time. I kept getting my car, it had four cars, and I kept getting them mixed up. And so I just said, oh, well, I'll sort them out later. Oh, no, that was wrong. You do something to your old Chevrolet, you put it in one separate container. I don't care if it's a plastic bag, a gallon garbage, a gallon freezer bag or whatever. Make a copy of the tape, the cash register tape, and anything else that you have on it. If you want to keep, say, oh, you run a 030 weight on it, take a picture of the darn thing and store it in your phone. I don't care how you do it, but prove that, yes, because most people who buy a change of oil or five quarts of oil on a Saturday on 2/9/24 and buy an oil filter for that particular car or vehicle probably is going to change it. The odds are you're not going to spend the money on the lube and the filter and all of this and not do it in the car, unless you sell the car or something like that. Then you don't have to worry about it. However, if you're going to keep it, take it from a customer that didn't take his keep his records on a Nissan and 60,000 miles blew an engine. And he said, I changed my oil. But to be honest with you, I don't know, Jerry. You know, he called a show, and I don't remember exactly how many miles it was when it had it on there. I just thought, you know, I'll do it. I don't remember if I was early or late on the oil change. Guess who got to buy that motor for that little pickup? He did. And he said, you know, it made sense. If you can't prove it, you're going to wind up buying it. And that's exactly what he did. And he called and put it out on the airways and let everybody else know that, hey, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. Vehicles are very expensive to work on now. I think the price to get them worked on is up about 27% since before COVID. Parts are stupid. Price. They're extremely expensive. Trying to get them because a lot of the aftermarkets closed down during COVID, and some of them didn't get back in. Some of them come back, but they were in such a rush, they kind of dropped the quality of the part just a little bit, just to get things going, figuring, okay, if we have 2% return on the parts, that's okay, we can handle that, and we'll cover the labor and stuff like this. So a lot of movement in the automotive industry that you need to pay attention to. And then with the EVs and alternative fuels that are out there, there's a lot more coming, too. There's a lot more coming. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. Handle the stuff that you can handle. You want to change your oil? Change your oil. Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, that's when you said the EVs, there's a lot of things changing. So I'll just give you the rundown. If you're buying a used EV, how do you know if it's good? It's a great question. How would you know if it's good, Jerry? I mean, I can look and open the door and see if the computer turns on. Towed one last week out of Sierra Vista, 2014 Tesla Model S. Customer bought the car, had it 1 week. Car wouldn't start. Well, shouldn't say. Let me rephrase that. Not the car wouldn't start, car wouldn't operate, right? So go down there, get the car, bring it up to Tesla Service Center, and lo and behold, what's wrong with it? The drive battery's dead. Junk. Now, the person who bought the car obviously bought it from somebody that probably knew the battery was going bad. And they did not do any due diligence to find out that, you know, that the car the battery was going to die. Now, car had relatively low miles. I think it had like 110 on it. Gosh, it should last, right? The EV battery should last 110,000. They say 200,000-300,000 miles. Okay, somewhere along the way there was a failure. Maybe there was maybe the thing had been 10 years. Maybe it had been charged too many times. Tesla says that 1,500 charge cycles is their deal. Just like your cell phone, you know that if you charge it all the time, or if you don't if you charge the battery up too much, or if you don't charge it up enough, every time you charge the battery condition degrades. If you don't believe me, go up to the Apple store, talk to the Apple guy, and he'll tell you 800 charges and your battery's garbage, right? Doesn't matter how much you use your phone. So, 1,500 charging cycle. I mean, what's 1,500? 1,500 charging cycles? Well, that seems like a lot. Well, if you charge a car every day, it's 4 years. Charge a car every other day, it's 8 years. 2014, 2024, 10 years, probably not outside the realm of getting to the limit of the charging cycles. And I say this because as we get into these electric cars, as time progresses, they're going to get older and older. You know, cars from 2020 are 4 years old. Cars from 2018 are now 6 years old. So there's going to be a point in time when somebody's going to need to start looking at these things saying, hey, what's the life of the battery? Now, Tesla's got a little feature. You can go there and see the charging history and tell you how many times it was charged. So you kind of have a better idea, even if it was only driven 40,000 miles. Because driving an electric car at 40,000 miles and driving a gas car at 40,000 miles have different circumstances. Just saying. The replacement cost for the 2014 drive battery on the Tesla Model S, $15,000. If you paid 20 and now you're into it 35, did you get a good deal? I don't know. Probably not, but you know, I didn't have to make that decision. If you got in the car for $5,000, then you had to pay $15,000, then you're in 20. So as you're looking at used cars and you're going to buy an electric car, I can only recommend that you seek out somebody who knows electrics and not the sales guy. I mean, and not the sales guys are bad, but they have an agenda. You know, they want to sell a car. You want to buy a car. Seems like a perfect marriage. You know, you kind of need to know what you're looking at. And since this stuff is new, it's really hard to know exactly what you're supposed to be looking at. And there's about a million different stories on a million different sites with, you know, oh, it'll go this long or it won't go that long. I mean, it's the spectrum is completely covered. From the darkest of dark, the thing will never run 5 seconds till the thing is the best thing on the planet, you know, the world can't live, you know. So somewhere in between is the truth, and you get to be the detective and figure it out.
Hey,
so,
Jimbo?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Tesla will actually, if you have the VIN number of the EV, it's got to be a Tesla. They'll run that VIN number through their mechanics maintenance, and they can't give out addresses or anything, but they will give you what the history of that car might be.
Right. Well, also on the Tesla, there's
the charging
history, and it'll tell you the charging, what, how many times it was charged.
Yes.
And by the same way, if you have a newer vehicle, actually probably most any vehicle within the last 10 years, if you go to Ford or Chevrolet and you give them the VIN number, they'll tell you how many times it's been serviced, and they can tell you how many times it's been serviced in any dealership in the country. I know this because we do it all the time. So if you've had your vehicle served at a dealership and it's in their system, they'll tell you exactly what's been done with it. A little nicer for Tesla because in a Tesla world or electric car world, your servicing is usually done at Tesla or the electric center versus a gas-powered car. Yeah, you might have had if you had your oil change someplace else, it won't be in GM's computer or Ford's computer.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, gas cars will do the same thing. And they do that because it helps them, you know what's going on. Oh, because, for example, just like you just brought up, how many times was the service at a Tesla service center? Well, if you were in New York City and you drove out to Arizona and you say, oh, I just had my car worked on, or they just did something, and of course, and Jerry will tell you this for a fact, well, what did they do? I don't know. It wasn't running right, and they fixed it. But now it's not running right again. Well, like, did they tune it up? Did they change the tires? I don't know. Well, this is a really great detective tool to figure out, oh, you're right, sir. It was, Mr. Mooney, it was fixed at Tesla Service Center, and they did these items. You know, great. Now we know, at least we know what was done. You know, oh, no, they rebuilt the whole thing. No, sir, they changed your windshield wipers.
Yeah,
I don't know. I know what they did. Then the same thing goes for gas-powered cars. You know, you go to the dealership and you're saying, oh, they just put a brand-new battery in my car. No, sir, they did not put a brand-new battery in your car. I'm looking at the notes right here. They did not do that. You declined to have a brand-new battery put in your car. No, I'm sure I did. No, sir, you did not. And it's a super great tool. Because just like Jerry said, you don't write it down. When's the last time you changed your oil? Oh, I just changed it a month ago. Oh, I'm looking at it. Yeah, the receipt from that you showed me is like from 3 years ago. So was it a month ago or 3 years ago? No, it wasn't that long ago. I know. It was, you know, I remember taking, I don't remember. And ergo the rub. And it happens all the time. Right, Jerry? I mean, you see it all the time. People.
All the time. And the older we get, I mean, you know, when you can't remember what you had for breakfast and they want to know, all right, when did you have this oil changed? And you don't have that little sticker fell off the window or something like that. And you think, well, I'll have to call the shop and get them on the computers and find out. But if you have, it's just like if you start making excuses for your car, you need to get to second opinion. You know, if you drive, you most of the time when we go home from work, we take the same road, and we go down. If you've got a little incline, and you're going up, and all of a sudden it downshifts, and you think, the wind must be blowing. Yeah, okay. And next day you do the same thing. When you start making excuses, talking, and saying, okay, the wind must be blowing. Maybe the reason it's pulling and it's pulling to the right at the tire pressure is probably low. And then you get home, you look at your tire, it looks fine to you. You didn't put a gauge on it, but still looks fine. And then all of a sudden your tire starts wearing. And you go, oh, maybe I hit that big pothole off of Wrightstown Road, the one that you can bury a Honda in. Maybe I hit that too hard the other night when I was coming in. But when you start, just remember, when you start talking to yourself about your car and its performance, it's time to get it in. When you start that car up in the morning and it doesn't start as fast as it used to, and when it does start up, it has a little vibration. Just a little vibration, just enough that you know it hadn't done it before, okay? That's an indicator that you've got an issue with a fuel delivery problem and probably some carbon buildup inside. So when you're dancing with the devil on this thing, get a second opinion, okay? Just get a second opinion on it, and then you can go from there. If you don't, it's going to bite you in the butt. And when I'm talking about taking a big chunk out of your billfold, especially, get the thing serviced, okay? Get it checked out. Find out what you've got. Just like Brian Fuller will tell you, test first, don't guess. Don't start throwing money at something when you don't really know what's going on. When I first got in business, back when Carter was making liver pills, a car could pull in to the front parking lot of the shop. If we heard him come in and we opened the door, we could pretty much diagnose his car while it's sitting in the parking lot. Those days are gone. Those days are gone. So I was just told that we got about 1 minute left here in the first hour. So I'm going to take us down to the closing. Jim, fill up your teacup, Jim. I know you drink tea in the morning.
Fill up your teacup.
Everybody else, get your little redneck pond pilot, your little piece of paper, something like that. Write down any questions you have. 719-1490, 719-1490, 520-719-1490. Any questions you have about motor oil, synthetic oil, antifreeze, any liquids in a car, when to change brake fluids, I don't care what it is. You know, give us a shout. You'd be surprised what Jim and I have already tore up. And we can answer the question so you don't tear up the same thing. But we'll be right back after these messages.